I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? These were thy words, Heavenly Father. We thank you for them, and they are your holy words. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As we look at our text today, we find that God wants us to see and study his word. We find that God wants us to take time and to see what he has to say to us each day. In Hosea, we find that God is speaking, and as we've seen Christ being crucified, he overcame death and he overcame the grave. And in that death and overcoming of the grave, he paid that penalty of sin for you and for me. As he paid that penalty of sin, he did it because of his great love for us. And we find that over and over again. Oh, death, where's your sting? Grave, you can't hold me because I have paid the penalty, Jesus says. And I have conquered you. I have the keys of hell and of death, and they are in my authority. And therefore, Christ has overcome for you and for me. In the epistle lesson, we find Paul talking to us about the mysteries of God. And in these mysteries of God and the fulfillment of God, he tells us very, very plainly that we should not only remember to pray, but that we should also remember that the things that goes on in our life is to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in it all, if we would look at verse 28, it says, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. We want, as Christians, we want everyone to be saved. And as Christians, we want everyone to have Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We find that some people will pretend and some people will, in sincerity and truth, follow Christ for a while. Yet we want to be able to convince them that for their own good, that they should follow Christ all the days of their life, regardless of the hard things that come in life, regardless of the things that we see. You know, we see Paul telling us that he rejoiced in Christ and that he was willing to suffer for Christ, that he did it for preaching the Word of God, and Christ suffered for us. And that we would have the afflictions, even as Christ was rejected by man, that we would be rejected too. And Christ says, remember, before they reject you, they have rejected me. Remember, he says, when they reject you, they aren't necessarily rejecting you, they are rejecting God himself and what God stands for. They forget God created the heavens and the earth. They forget that God is the one that gave each one of us life, and we have been made in the image of God. And in that image, we are to serve Christ, our Lord and Savior. In that, God has given us the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, his Son. And we should, as Jesus tells us in 18:1, we should pray always and not lose heart, or do not be despaired. When we look at that, we say, what does prayer mean? Do not lose heart. Do not lose our joy. Do not lose our respect. Do not lose our excitement or our desire to serve Christ all the days of our life. We're told by Paul that if we do this, and we do not get weary and do not lose heart, we will receive the reward of everlasting life. Those that get weary on the journey and quit following Christ, those that get weary on the journey and go back to the ways of the world, has forsaken the God that saved them. They have forsaken the God that gave his son for them. We find that life is something like going on a flight, and many of us have flown on airplanes, on the airlines, and we find this, that when we get on the aircraft, the flight attendants are busy making sure we're comfortable and all of these things. And then before they take off, they make an announcement of make sure your seat belt is fastened and there's nothing in your way and so forth. And one of the last statements they always make, they always say, if for some reason we should lose oxygen in flight, an oxygen mask will fall down in front of you. Take your mask first and put it on you and breathe so you are able to do that, then help those around you. And we find the same thing even in the Christian life. God says, I have sent Jesus into the world, on John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. God gave his only begotten son. And Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I am the good shepherd. I am the one with the one that will give you everlasting water and everlasting bread. And so we see that oxygen mask has come down because the world has lost its way. God sent Christ into the world. We could relate that as a flight in which would be our oxygen mask. We are to make sure our salvation is right, that it's correct, that it is secure in Christ Jesus. We are to make sure that we not only pray as we ought and pray daily, but that we read and study God's word so we know what we're praying about, and we realize that Christ is the one that leads us and guides us each day, that we're willing to suffer for him, that we're willing to stand up for him, that he has helped us to make known his salvation to those round about us. And as we make sure of our own salvation, it tells us in Galatians that Paul says to the Galatians, he says, I am pressing forward through that upward calling of Jesus Christ, that upward calling in which we see Christ alone at the right hand of God the Father. And in that we find that God has sent his Spirit into the world on Pentecost, and he has sent it to all people, to you and to me. We have the Holy Spirit in us if we have Christ living in us. If we refuse to have Christ living in us, the Holy Spirit cannot live in us. We find that Jesus, when he sent his disciples out, he says, I want you to not only believe, but I am sending you out into the world. And out there are wolves and thieves and robbers, but you are to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves, and to spread the kingdom of God. When that oxygen mask comes down, if you're at 35,000 feet, you better get it on real quickly, but you better get it on yourself first before you can help others. Can you make sure your salvation is correct and right in the sight of God? That God is your personal Lord. God is the one that leads you and guides you, and his Holy Spirit is not only living in you, but he is guiding you and teaching you day by day. We don't do it by not praying. We don't do it by not coming before the Lord daily. We don't say, I'll come once a week and hear the word of God and that's sufficient. God wants us to have communication with him, and that's what prayer is. Prayer is a way in which we can speak to our Maker A prayer is a way in which we can talk to God on a one-to-one basis. And you know, it's better than the old telephones where you can have many people on there or you can have one. But with God in prayer, you have a direct communication with God Almighty. And with Him alone, you have His attention. And He is watching over you, guiding you, and He wants to hear what you have to say, and He wants to converse with you. He will do that with the Holy Spirit acting and teaching and guiding you day by day. There are many people that'll go along and they'll say, I don't feel God near me. Yet the Holy Spirit is there. God, as you've heard the old adage, I don't feel God is with me, and God says, I haven't moved. Have you moved away from God and let the world take over? You see, when we are sure of our salvation, we should be excited and want to tell others about what God has done for us. Do we want to go out and see all these people being lost? And the answer is no. We not only pray for them, let God lay them on our heart and help us to be excited about our salvation because it is secure in Christ. And as it is secure in Christ, that we want others to know about it, our friends, our relatives, our family, to know that they too can have eternal life by having Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And so we find that God, even before we were saved or before Christ died, He sent Christ into the world and He demonstrated His love to us. That in that love, He did it by sending Christ to die on Calvary's cross. And that blood that was shed on that cross will cleanse us from all sin when we trust in Him. We find that we are in grave danger if we neglect so great a salvation, because in that we would be consigning ourselves over to Satan, and we'd be consigning ourselves over to eternal separation and destruction from God. You see, God's wrath will not endure forever. And if we know right and don't do it, it tells us in James, we are sinning. We are to tell others about the salvation of God. As I had mentioned once before, or maybe a couple times even, there's been a poll out, and of the many Christians that had answered the poll, they claimed to be true followers of Jesus Christ, yet there was 24% of that group that said they do not have to tell anybody that they have Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I would beg differently with them, and we are to tell others. We are not to keep it a secret. If you have something you like, a job you like, or something new that you might have bought, you want others to know about it. You're willing to let them see it. Your loved ones, those around you that you might work with, or whatever the case might be. And you find that they should be happy with you. And we should be happy to be able to serve Christ, spreading His word throughout all eternity, but even in this world, when we walk through this world, that we are willing to tell those round about us that Christ is our personal Lord and Savior. We see God's wrath coming upon this world, and God says, I can store up my wrath for those who refuse to listen and obey. In John 3:18, it tells us that God, those that love God are saved, and those that do not love God or doesn't want anything to do with Him are condemned already because they do not believe in the name of the Son of God. And so it is very plain and evident to us that we have to make sure our salvation is correct, our salvation is sure, And then we want to make sure our loved ones and those we come in contact with not only sees us, but they see Christ in us. We are the light of the world, and we know a city that's set on a hill, it tells us in Luke and in Matthew, cannot be hidden. We do not put a light under a bushel basket, it tells us, but we light the whole house, because as a Christian, we want our light so to shine before men. And that light shining before men would drive other people to the Lord, seeking His will in their life. And we find, too, that we can call upon Him, and by calling upon Him, we would be saved. It tells us in Romans, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that Christ has been risen from the dead, we would be saved. We find everything we have in life, God has given to us as stewards. We find everything we have belongs to God, that when we leave this earth, we leave with nothing. As Job says, I came into the world with nothing and I will leave with nothing. But we find that it belongs to God. He has given it to us. We are His stewards. How do we work or handle the goods that He has given us? He has given us all something, a talent in which to work with. Some of us have many talents, some of us have few, but we find in regardless that God is there for us. We find that God wants us to pray daily, being it's our communication line with the Lord God, we can spend much time. But we also want to know, as Jesus told His disciples, go you out into the world and proclaim my gospel and my salvation to the world. He wants us to do the same thing. We are not to keep it to ourselves, but we are to give it out, and we are to help others that are struggling along the way to see God's goodness in life and to help them both spiritually and physically if we can do that. And if we can help them both physically and spiritually, we find that the Spirit of God will touch their hearts and lives, and that they in turn would turn their hearts and life to Christ. We want to be positive as we preach and speak, and in the positive manner of what Christ can do for us, but also to show and tell what happens to those who do not accept Jesus, that we are going forward as Jesus's servants and as His messengers. As His messengers, we go then from day to day in prayer, praise, and thanksgiving for ourselves and our salvation, for our loved ones, that we are willing to stand up, even though sometimes it might be hard and it might be out of our, I don't want to say out of our way, but out of what we're doing, and we take the time to explain to others. I have visiting people. I have had a man one time, he told me the best thing that could happen is if you would leave. That's quite a statement when you're visiting somebody and you're trying to bring them the Word of God. And he was very adamant about it. And as I continued going back to him, I found that pretty soon he would at least talk about it. He would talk about God and the Word of God. The last time I visited him it's quite a while ago, since I've seen the man, and I don't know how he is, but he has at least an open heart to hear what I have to say. And yet, we talk about other things also. And we not only talk salvation, we talk about the need of salvation, we talk about what happens if he doesn't accept the Lord. And he says he knows all these things, but he doesn't know that he wants to accept Christ. I don't know why, but I do know this, that Satan will do everything he can to stop you and me from presenting the gospel. He'll do everything he can to stop those we talk to from receiving the gospel. He'll do everything he can to take the word of God out of the heart and mind of the people we speak with, if he can do it. Yet we have to pray, Lord Jesus, because of your power and because all power has been given to you in heaven and on earth, we pray and we speak in your holy name that these people not only hear, but they give their hearts and lives to you. And that in giving of their hearts and lives, that they would have salvation when they pass from this earth. That they would be willing to live for you while here on earth so people could see them and glorify Christ Jesus in their hearts and lives. So we see that the wrath of God will not abide and be held off forever. God says, my wrath will not be held back forever, that I will punish those who turn against me. But he says, I have patience and long-suffering for those who are willing to come to me, that they might learn and not be carnally minded, but that they would be have a mind of Christ and they would imitate Jesus Christ in their life and in their dealings with other people, that they would be able to put on their own oxygen mask and help those around them. And that's what we are to do too, is to be able to not only have the salvation for ourselves, but that we would have the right and the way in which to preach the Word of God and to bring the Word of God to those round about us, whether they're our friends, our family, or relatives, but that God would lay a soul upon our heart. And in laying that soul upon our heart, we would be able to glorify God through Jesus Christ, because all power has been given unto him. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would watch over us and keep us. Help us, Heavenly Father, to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.